all due respect. And remember, I'm saying with all due respect.
Here with Nick Wilson.
I am America's sports talk show host. Hear me roar.
Stan Norfleet here.
Hey, it was just a misunderstanding.
No, it ain't.
Oh, bleep you. Get off my...
Bye, Gomez.
Bye, Gomez, right. To both of you.
Do I detect some kind of sarcasm here?
Never.
Middleton sideline inbound. Antetokounmpo's in the backcourt. 5.9 seconds left. Middleton looking, surveying, gives to Holiday. Over to Antetokounmpo. He'll charge inside, goes up with the left hand, floats it in with 2 seconds left. Hornets are out of timeouts. They got to hurry. They'll go to Bridges. Half court heave for the win. In and out. And Milwaukee hangs on for a 127-125 victory. What a game.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick and Stan with you. The show is back. Welcome in. We've got Brennan Marks of The Athletic joining us to talk UNC's win over Michigan yesterday. Duke's loss 2 days ago. Mm. And also, we'll pick his brain on a myriad of things here in ACC Hoops. We've got Radio Tinder at 1140. But Stan,
yeah, man.
That call courtesy of Sam Farber and the Hornets Radio Network. You heard Giannis's game-winning basket, which was followed up by a two-second heave by Miles Bridges from half court to try and win the game. But yet, the Hornets ended up losing their third straight game last night in what really was a phenomenal game, regardless of whether you're a Hornets fans or a Bucks. That was just a good NBA game that you don't often get to start December.
Yeah, first of all, good morning, my man Nick, itty-bitty-fitty back there, our board op, Josh Marlowe, appreciate his work. Yeah. Charlotte, good morning. Going to be beautiful weather today. We're in the 70s today. Can you imagine that, December in the 70s? Mm-hmm. Hope everybody's feeling well.
What's the chances of precipitation?
I have not asked my local weatherman.
Okay. I just didn't know if you had that in.
I just know it was supposed to be in the 70s today. All righty. Last night's game was entertaining, though disappointing. Both things can be true. There was a lot to like. But I thought last night also showed the difference in the reigning NBA champion, mm-hmm. how you finish games in the clutch. You can clearly see the talent disparity, meaning they had a dude that got 40 points in Giannis, the reigning MVP, and we got a dude that is a budding superstar
mm-hmm.
that's learning how to do those types of things. But I was happy for the performance. I wasn't upset about it as I was with the Houston, and I'm certainly not there as I was with Chicago.
The Houston loss is the worst of all three losses.
Yes.
Because you should have beat that. Your starter should have been out by the start of the fourth quarter.
No doubt about it.
And I'd say that with all due respect to the Houston Rockets. And they got a couple pieces I really like. Actually, no due respect. They earn no respect. You do not pass go. You do not collect your $200. Buy Goma to the Houston Rockets right now.
Mm.
And Tillman Fertitta.
And take that Rocket and Ness and, yeah.
But last night's game, I'm sorry, that was, like, I don't even think it was about, well, that's a championship team. And to be fair, the Bucks did a great job in the third quarter getting back in the game. And when I was checking in on the game, I looked at it and I said, all right, Kelly Oubre, 5 threes. We're in the halfway through the third. LaMelo Ball has made 5 threes. Actually, strike that and reverse it. Kelly had made 4 of his 9 threes. LaMelo had already made 5 threes. And I was like, so you're only up 8 points. And two of your most inconsistent three-point shooters have, or hot or cold guys, have a ridiculously hot night. So I didn't have high expectations when you were only up on the NBA champions by 8 points at that point in the game. So for them to be in it, and for both teams to go blow for blow, I think that was less about, Milwaukee, they just, like, both teams had a couple procedural things in the final 3 minutes. But I just think I think LaMelo made that fantastic three-point shot to pull the game even at 125.
Falling out of bounds in front of the Bucks bench.
This is not a criticism of LaMelo, by the way. But I think that there wasn't enough time taken off the clock at that play, and I think it allowed Milwaukee to get the ball back with 6 seconds left. And when you have the reigning NBA MVP and the reigning NBA champion with Giannis Antetokounmpo, if you give them 6 seconds on the clock and Giannis the ball, that's what I expect Giannis to do, which is the layup, which ended up being the game-winning shot.
Especially when you don't have a lengthy defender that can at least somewhat enable him not to just get to the rim.
I didn't think the defense was that bad either.
What we saw Giannis in last year's playoffs, when he gets ahead of steam and he puts his head down, He's what LeBron used to be. There's nobody stopping me from getting to the rack when that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered if they would create a set to wall off the lane. We've seen a ton of teams do that to make Giannis go preferably to the right as opposed to his left. I like your point about the not timeout. And I heard Mac and Willie P this morning discussing the option of how about just a double team? Make Chris Middleton beat you. Make Connaughton beat you. Make Slappy Grayson Allen beat you. Just get the ball out of Giannis' hands or put him at the free throw line and just foul him.
I just think that's easier to say than it is to do.
Well, that's what JB's got to be thinking about.
I thought Borrego touched on the difficulties of guarding Giannis. Right now, there's not anyone in the league, not even Kevin Durant, as great as Kevin Durant is, there's not anyone in the league that I'm confident with if Giannis decides this is my time. I'm at least going to make an effort at the rim. There's no one. You can play the best defense you can play against him, but you're not going to play perfect defense against him because the man's a freaking unicorn.
No doubt about that.
And what I really loved about last night's game, it's the rare loss that you're buzzing after. Sorry about that pun.
I don't know about buzz.
No, I was buzzing because of that shot that LaMelo hit with 6 seconds left in the game to make it 125. That's a superstar shot. I'm not saying LaMelo.
What is that?
I'm not saying LaMelo is a superstar.
Okay, because I got to calm you down.
But
sometimes,
for LaMelo to be a true superstar, what was LaVar Ball? He's going to be an MVP candidate. For him to do that, as great as the facilitating is and the rebounding and all the other stuff that LaMelo does, the passes, the exciting plays, the greats, the true greats, the thing that separates Magic Johnson from, I don't want to say Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen was a really great player too. I don't want to turn this in, but The thing that made Magic Johnson Magic Johnson, he could make that shot. The thing that has made LeBron James is he can make that shot. The thing that makes the guys who are pass first oriented big guards, the things that have elevated the true greats of this game is they can still make that shot when they need to. Now, that's a shot in December. You've got to make about 100 more of those before people really start to believe that's who you are. Yeah. But to see him make a shot against the defending champions in that circumstance while already having had a hot night, that was just a great moment. I just basked in LaMelo being great in that moment, and that is something I think we have to get used to here in Charlotte because it's not easy to trust when you have something great when you're used to 20 years of crap.
Also, as fantastic as LaMelo was, and to your point, it was an excellent shot. In that moment, it was clutch.
Am I going to have to hit you with a bigoma here? I feel like we're about to get a big butt right here.
I'm moving my commentary along. Patience, please.
No.
Let's do it consistently, and you have to be able to do it in the postseason before we start doing the superstar tags. I know you weren't calling him a superstar. So was it a moment that he made a big-time shot? Absolutely. But there are other people to brag on. Gordon Hayward had 5 points at the break. Gordon ended the game with, what, 18? That's right, yeah. So Gordon, and I read an article from Rob Boone, I know you saw it too, in The Observer, referencing when Gordon is on the floor, and when Gordon, he talked about, Gordon admitted, when I'm aggressive, Good things have a tendency to happen. So Gordon having 13 in the second half.
And I think Gordon and Miles being able to be aggressive at the same time is a huge thing. They both did that. They ended up with 40 combined points. That can unlock something. When it's not Gordon deciding to be, you know, the lead dog and then Miles is submissive, when they're both aggressive at the same time, that's something we haven't seen consistently from both guys.
And we haven't seen Gordon on the floor this consistently. Like, we're worried about his minutes. Like, they're not load managing Gordon. He's playing well. I really appreciated his efforts last night. What was he on the night? Gordon was +4 on the night, which from a starter standpoint was the highest on the team. I also want to brag on the bench. Milwaukee prides themselves on being able to go well into the bench. We saw that in the playoffs as well. Mm-hmm. They trust their rotation. They were without Brook Lopez and a couple other pieces last night. The Hornets bench outscored Milwaukee 30-29, largely because of Kelly Oubre Jr. 9-14, 5-9 from 3. Now, he was -4 on the night, but 25 points, which was second to LaMelo for the team. Kelly Oubre Jr. is performing the way we thought Malik Monk had the potential to.
All righty. So have we gotten our flowers out? Because this might sound like it's specifically you because you said you got to do it again in the playoffs with LaMelo, but this is not specific to you.
Okay.
I am cool with bopping anybody that deserves bopped. All right.
What does that mean?
That means knock them over the head.
Okay. And literally right?
I have no problems criticizing people that deserved criticism. But a 704 number on the text line, and this is maybe I'm speaking to the minority here. I'm going to read this text. I'm going to tell you why it pisses me off. Yay, Hornets fans going crazy celebrating because they lost. This city is so lethargic. This is the kind of absolute negative Nancy bullcrap that has no place. No, we're celebrating that a team that 2 years ago had no business being on the court with the reigning defending NBA champions with the best player in the NBA, we're celebrating going toe-to-toe. And more importantly, we're celebrating the best game we've seen from this city's brightest hope since Cam Newton's MVP season in LaMelo Ball. And we're celebrating a moment with LaMelo Ball that he hit. That three-point shot was a big boy shot. Do it 100 more times. Do it in the playoffs. Absolutely. But this idea, this agita, oh, don't celebrate. Oh, you can't celebrate a loss. No, celebrate how they play. Don't celebrate the Chicago game. That would have been a silver lining. There's no celebration in losing to Houston. But what we saw last night from LaMelo was special. What you saw from Kelly Oubre last night was special. What you saw from that team, that's one of the best games they played. And so to try and put down Charlotte or put down... No, enjoy this process. I don't think we're enjoying the process of the Charlotte Hornets nearly enough. Because last night was a hell of a lot of fun, even though the end result still sucked.
It was very entertaining. There's a lot to take away from it. But I'm somewhere in between where you are and where that texter is. I'm not going to celebrate a defeat. The bottom line is this team...
That's not what you're celebrating. You're celebrating LaMelo.
This team has lost three games in a row, and LaMelo Ball turned the ball over three times to just one assist in the fourth quarter. Now, he also had 16 points. So I can applaud that he had a career night from a point standpoint. Fantastic. But it wasn't enough to win the game. Always in perspective with Stan Fleet.
Bye, Goma. To everybody... Not feeling over the moon about what we saw from LaMelo last night. We got Brennan Marks of The Athletic joining us at 12:20 there, and the conversation is off LaMelo, his big night. And how do you feel about this game? Is this more about the loss? Is this more about LaMelo's big night? And we got another big night here in local basketball. UNC gets a big win. That's next on Sports Radio FNC.
Michigan leads by just one, though, even though Carolina has struggled as Love knocks away the handoff pass, goes to Baycott. He pitches ahead to Love for the run-out throwdown. The right-handed tomahawk. Yes, sir.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. All you need is Love. Caleb Love, that is, 22 points last night against Michigan as North Carolina gets the better of the Wolverines, 72-51 there. And don't look now. In last night's ACC Big Ten matchups, ACC went 4-2 to finish off a very good year for them.
Big Ten still won the showdown.
Yeah, but they won the last thing that matters.
Huh?
The last six games, which were last night, they won. So, recency bias says they did a fantastic job. More importantly, early in that game, right when Diabate was just absolutely
he was having his way.
Smoking North Carolina.
He was giving Baycott some business.
I just kept thinking about North Carolina's defensive collapses early in that game, and there was a moment where like three Tar Heel defenders closed out at once, and Diabate just wide open three, swished it. And like four or five plays later, almost the exact same sequence happened. And even though North Carolina's offense had looked good, I just kept those two plays gave me just instant agita. So I was shocked to see how they played defensively in the second half. I thought they played, I think it's been a little overreported how well they played. I thought they played good defensively, and I thought they were outstanding offensively, led by Caleb Love, who was fantastic last night. 9 of 16 from the field, 4 of 7 from the outside, 22 points.
Yeah, to me, there were two players last night that I thought really elevated the game of Carolina. You mentioned Caleb Love, the 22 points in 33 minutes. I have a man crush on Caleb Love. I thought I liked him at ACC tip-off when he sat down with the two of us, but I just really like young players that take their game to the next level. You can clearly see Hubert David trust him. I was a little nervous when they left him in the game, up 20-something points with 3 minutes left. Love, I need you to come sit over here with me. Long season, I didn't want him to be in there. But the other one, this Garcia kid.
He can hoop.
Garcia, especially, Michigan went to a zone. Garcia popped to the high post on a number of occasions. He kept the ball high, turned around. He can distribute the ball. But when he gets confidence going, knocking down from the outside, he can also step back into three, but mostly the elbow foul line extended. I thought when they get that from Garcia to complement Bacon and Love, I really thought Bacon got more aggressive in the second half. Carolina's going to be a fool to deal with this year, man.
So the thing about Garcia that's been really cool is I think we all came into this season expecting Brady Manek to be a real problem for everyone, and he's had some moments. Yeah. Early in that first quarter, he's the reason why I think they stayed into that thing early is they were having a couple defensive lapses.
Well, see, he was 4 of 9 from the field,
Manek. He had some big energy off the bench there.
5 boards, too.
But Manek has not been as – he's been very good. I don't want to make it seem like I'm bleeping on the young man, but he's been very good. But Garcia has been, I think, a lot better than I thought he was going to be. And those two together, as bigs alongside Bacot, who you mentioned, have just been really good. And I thought, you know, part of me looked at Hunter Dickinson, the big for Michigan.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was thinking about him. Go ahead.
I think some of what North Carolina did, he didn't seem engaged at any point in this game.
His footwork and his touch with that left-hand hook over the right shoulder was beautiful.
He looks like a Bond villain running up the court.
He reminds me of, who's a kid last year, player of the year from Iowa?
Garza.
He reminds me of Luke Garza.
So, but no, he runs like a lumberjack.
What, you think he's Lurch?
Like, what he looks, yes, he looks like Jaws from like a Bond villain when he runs up the court in transition. But I thought he just seemed like the energy that I think Brendan Marks, who we're going to have on at 12:20 today. Brendan did a good job of talking about the energy at the Dean Dome last night.
The building and the environment definitely impact. Juwan Howard said the same thing, head coach of the Wolverines afterwards. The environment was special.
And Hunter Dickinson looked lost. Like, he didn't look like he knew how to play in that environment, probably because he plays in the Big Ten and there are not a lot of Dean Domes in the Big Ten, no offense.
Fair.
But, like, he just looked lost to me. I didn't even, like, I don't want to, it's going to sound like I'm discrediting UNC here. But I don't think they did anything special to stymie him. I think he just looked lost. And I think as the defense tightened up in the second half, that's why you didn't see him a lot out there in the second half. Because they, like, when the defense was lax, he wasn't doing bleep.
Yeah.
So when the game tightened up, he looked so incredibly lost. He made that defense look phenomenal in the post.
Now, I'm going to also give credit to Carolina's offense. 58% after halftime is what really, from the floor, is what really exploded that game. And I also saw a Carolina team that was more battle-tested. They'd been in more of those moments. Number 2, Purdue. Number 3, Tennessee. Number 13, Tennessee. Both of those in defeat. They had played against better competition than Michigan had done in that environment on the road. So I thought that was a more experienced Heels team, if you will.
I just think it's wild that we overreacted to North Carolina's early defensive struggles, right?
Did we overreact, or did we properly react in the moment?
I think it was an overreaction because
I do think
that there's some allowable concern because we're watching UNC bigs play ways we're not used to watching UNC big plays. You talk about Dawson Garcia and how he plays. You talk about Brady Manek. Dare I use the word finesse with Brady Manek at points? So I think that is something to watch the entire year, but like they're a team that is relatively, like, I know RJ's been there, Caleb's been there, Leaky Black's been there, but like Garcia's new, Manic's there. They've got some new guys there. It was always going to take a minute to figure out a new style because they've been playing Roy Williams basketball with Roy Williams bigs for a minute now. I think last night showed you they're really close to putting it together, and they don't have to be. They're not Duke. Duke has to be really good and really physical most nights, right? And then Paolo Banchero has to be Paolo Banchero. That's their formula to win. UNC, just be good defensively. Just don't suck defensively because they have so much offensive firepower. Like, you can put Armando Bacot out there, who's a nice big, but I don't think he's a big with a replete with offensive skill. But you can put him out there and still have Garcia, Davis, Love, Leakey, Manek out. You can have all those other guys, and it doesn't matter what Armando can just put back.
But that's what they told us. Hubert Davis sat down with us at ACC tip-off and said that's how they were going to play. they were going to be more of a four out, one in. Certainly, you're going to get the transition game that's customary with Carolina basketball. One quick point, and itty bitty fitty, you know, if you want to chime in, have at it. I thought it was crucial, the foul discipline, the defensive discipline to not get in foul trouble, but then to be aggressive on the offensive end. Dickerson sat 10 minutes in the second half with that fourth foul, and from that moment on, Michigan shot 9 of 27 for 33%.
That was definitely a big factor in the game, and I think what Hubert Davis is doing that we got away with from under Roy Williams was getting to the foul line more than we were putting the opponent.
That's a good point.
And last night, the defense, the biggest adjustment they made was they didn't double team at all in Connecticut, and that's why they got abused by Purdue and Tennessee. They doubled the post every single time, and the length of Garcia, Manic, Leaky Black, Caleb Love, as y'all like to mention, is a really big point guard. That made a big factor, and that's why they were able to be much more better defensively. Michigan, you know, just 13 of 36 from two-point land.
You know, I'm very, very happy to hear your voice today, Itty Bitty Finny.
That was a setup.
Why?
Because I have, you know, working with Stan, I take a lot of bleep. All right.
Are you serious?
And I have to hear.
Are you bleeping serious?
I have to hear this. And as you know, I put up with a lot.
Do you want to talk about the college football playoff right now?
And so, you're supposed to be the guy that backs up your guys, me and Stan. No. And yesterday, I as part of my Mark Spain Real Estate Nick pick, the pick segment or the pick spot that we do at the final segment of every show, I said, the line was Michigan was a 2.5-point favorite, despite it being in the Dean Dome. And I said, I'm gonna completely lay the points. I think North Carolina is going to win, and I think it's going to be a good win. And you hit me with a bigoma. You turned on me like a Texas rattlesnake and accused me of jinxing your team. So
a Nick curse.
I'm going to need you to eat this bigoma right here on air in front of the audience. I would like to hear, Nick, you were right.
Oh.
We're
going
to do Nick Was Right Radio, and I'm going to need a professional apology from you.
Oh, God.
Nicholas, I don't know your middle name, Wilson.
What is Eugene? Your name?
Eugene? No, it's,
you don't
it's
look
not.
Like a Eugene.
No, that's Willie's middle name.
Yeah.
Oh.
You were right. But I was also right because I picked Carolina to win the game. You didn't ask me about my opinion.
No. That's not why you were wrong.
That was a fitty fictional right there.
For besmirching that's Nick Wilson's my legacy. You are treating me like Brian Kelly got treated on the way out in LSU. Like I hit you with a 2-minute bigoma saying goodbye to you. You castigated my ability and the Nick pick every day by saying I jinxed your team. Jinx this, friend.
Is castigated a word?
No, it's not.
Look it up. Look it up, sucker. Look that bleep up.
This is a good win for Carolina. And dare I say, this is a signature win.
Nah, I don't think it's there yet. Michigan's a nice team. But
serious?
This is at home. Michigan has not played.
Is this the best win in Hubert Davis' tenure as a head coach?
Boy, what a low bar. It's eight
games. It's a signature win for Hubert Davis.
It's eight games.
It doesn't care about the game.
Seven games. It's not even full eight games.
Okay, so when Duke upset previously number one Gonzaga, did anybody say, but it's only game seven? No, you said they upset the number one team in the country.
That was a number one team in the country.
And this
was the 24th team in the country.
This is a 24th team in the country, a Michigan team that had a great run a year ago in the tourney, and here they are coming into the Smith Center for Hubert Davis. This is a signature win.
It was
there
a nice
can be
win.
Other signature wins.
It was a nice win. Good kudos to North Carolina.
What is he talking about?
I want to follow up because I was thinking about this on my way in this morning. Nick, even if you don't think it is a signature win, what does a signature win mean for a first-time head coach like Hubert Davis at a program? Like, what does it mean?
The man lost to the two previous ranked teams he played.
Okay, allow me to tie the first 31 minutes of the show together. In the same way that you said, LaMelo's performance last night was the best we've seen from him. You can say the same thing about this UNC win. This is the best we've seen from them against the best competition we've seen from them. And when I was hot on that, about that three-point shot with 6 seconds left and that you need to do that, you said, and we both said, you need to do that more. And you need to do that more in games, and you need to do it in the playoffs.
But it didn't stop Melo's shot from being a signature shot. Moment. This is a signature moment for Hubert Davis.
I don't think it was a signature shot. I thought it was a cool moment. And I do think.
We're accustomed to seeing Melo do that?
Like a signature win is a top 10 win.
No, since we
if this was in Michigan, maybe I'd feel different. No, it's a good win. Why do we have to over-elevate every win? It's a really nice win.
They had lost to the two previous ranked teams they played.
Yes, and but that doesn't make this Michigan the best Michigan team there's ever been. It's a nice win for them.
Okay, I'm not going. It's semantics at this point. I'm not doing this with you today. It was Cincinnati yesterday. I'm not doing this with you today.
I think you're the one that's doing it today.
Did anybody else play in the ACC?
Yes, there was Wisconsin beat Georgia Tech. Sorry, Josh Pastner. Michigan State, the other best game.
I'm not doing this with you.
Was NC State getting the 4 overtime win over Nebraska? And let's just call it what it is. This was because of my guy, Sabron James. Darian Sabron.
Don't do that.
Who's ridiculous. 39 points, 18 rebounds last night, and played 57 minutes.
You're burying the lead. It was a 4 overtime heavyweight title bout.
I already said 4 overtimes.
You're missing the point. The title bout is the focus. They almost came to blows on the floor last night. Dudes got tossed.
Sabron having 57 minutes and scoring 39 points isn't the lead?
No, the lead is dudes almost got tossed.
And by the way, because I heard Willie P and company talk about Hayes getting bumped from this game. Hayes got bumped, not because he did anything wrong, but that moment where it got chippy after Helm tied it at 61 with his big three-pointer. That game had started to get more chippy. If you had only sanctioned Nebraska by ejecting one of their players, I think it would have continued to be more chippy as that thing went on. I actually empathize with what the officials were trying to do, even though I don't think, on the whole, Hayes deserved to be ejected.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to get anywhere unsavory, if you will. Two things for me. Congratulations, Coach Keats. 5-0, his Wolfpack at home.
Signature win.
Without Manny Bates. Don't be a D. Second of all, congratulations, Coach Keats and staff. We didn't say this yesterday. They solidified 2023 shooting guard, number one ranked shooting guard in the country, Robert Dillingham.
Signature recruit.
Signature recruit.
Okay, but not a signature win.
Who's going to be ineligible? You love to see it.
Is UNC's win over Michigan a signature win since Dan put his foot down on that one? In the meantime, maybe the biggest fail yet on Sports Radio FNC.
Yeah.
Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Plenty to get to. Great night in basketball here locally. UNC getting the win. The Hornets a great loss last night. Signature loss by the Charlotte Hornets to the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee.
Back home to you.
The Hornets weren't the only one to take an L in the last 24, though. I got to tell myself a little bit.
Oh, Lord.
So
this would be one of those moments, itty bitty.
So last night was a great night to have a random bout of insomnia because we had great basketball to watch. We had the Hornets to watch. We had NC State, Nebraska to watch. We had UNC Michigan to watch. Mm-hmm. Hell, I watched Louisville Michigan State.
That was interesting at certain points. Yeah.
I would take that back.
First half, for sure. Michigan State had to cut it on the second half.
I felt like I lost a little bit of life in that game. However, that's not the point. The point is, I slept about an hour last night, so my decision-making this morning was a little sus.
Mm.
And I may have had my greatest fail yet as a parent.
I find that hard to believe, but go ahead.
Just wait, because you've heard my other parenting fails. And I've got about, I'm right now, I'm hitting about one a week. One a week where there's just something that I do that as I'm walking away from the situation, I'm just like, yeah, that wasn't great, dog. Yeah, that one is the boomerang on this one is going to come back around the other side to bite you pretty hard.
Nick Wilson, horrible parent. God bless you, Vanessa.
This morning, down yonder in South Charlotte, a little bit of bus issues.
Hits around the Ballantyne area?
Somewhere's around there. Some bus issues. And it had to be the day that I was just physically exhausted and mentally exhausted and wasn't all there. So every morning, now that it's cold outside, I drive my beautiful daughters up to the bus stop in my truck. And we sit in the truck and sometimes we'll listen to music or we'll play, you know, rock, paper, scissors and whatever to do just to spend a little bit of time together before they hop on the bus.
Sure.
So today, after about 10 minutes of that, I started to get kind of grumpy. And so,
grumpy that you were playing rock, paper, scissors, or grumpy that the bus was taking all damn day?
Grumpy that the bus was taking all damn day.
Okay.
I had things I had to do, namely sit on my couch and veg for a few minutes and try and wake up. So I was getting, there are other families out there. So I got out and I know one of the neighbors has the app.
I know where this is going.
They've got the app that says
for the bus.
For the bus. Mm-hmm. I don't do it because I'm lazy. There's no other way to put this other than I'm lazy.
My, how times have changed. An app for the bus.
Wow. I know. And yet I have it and I still don't get it. So I popped on a playlist on my Spotify for my daughters to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm walking over there and the mom's like, yeah, so it was over here and now the bus is over here. And it literally hit every other neighborhood but my neighborhood when we're the first neighborhood that they should hit.
Right.
And so I'm looking over, my girls are like, just into it, man. Whatever they're listening to in the truck, they're bebopping and they're having fun and they're kind of being crazy. It looked like I'd given my kids some sort of like speed. They were just like, they were JoJo the Idiot Wonder Boy. Like they were just like all over the top. So
kids were lit. All right.
So it made me want to get back in the truck even less because now the bus is running late and my kids are over the top energetic and I feel like absolute garbage.
At the playlist that you selected.
At the playlist that I selected.
Okay.
So finish up talking with the other parents and am kind of like in between. Like, do I just drive them to school? Do I wait for the bus? What do I do? And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I start listening to what I'm listening to, what they've been listening to. And it was my absolute horror to realize that I had turned on my playlist that had some of Snoop Dogg's most questionable songs on it.
Now, this is interesting.
Uh-huh.
So this would be the daughter's first introduction into Uncle Snoop.
To D-O-double-G.
Okay. Now, is this Dog Pound?
This is Dog Pound. This is Gin and Juice.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Is this the Chronic? Is there a little Dre deep cover?
There is.
Any,
yes.
Yeah. Mainstream white America, don't get nervous. We're talking about hip hop for just a little bit. Don't get nervous. We'll be done in a second.
The first thing that the first thing that triggered my like understanding was there's a reference in
Bow,
Gin
wow,
and
wow,
Juice.
Wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
No. There was a reference because that song had already played. So I didn't find that out until the end here. But so I'm listening and I'm like, oh, this is Gin and Juice. And I realized it because he's talking about prophylactics.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then I hear the S word.
Yeah.
And then I hear the H word to describe women. And I'm like, so I hit pause as quick as I can.
Wow, wow, wow.
And so what's the first thing you do? The first thing you do is you go back and see how many songs have they been listening to this? Three straight Snoop songs.
Mm.
That's not even the worst of it.
The explicit version, clearly.
There is and don't ask me why are they on the same playlist. Not my playlist. There is a Rammstein song, the German hardcore death metal band.
Okay.
That is their most explicit song that played first.
Okay.
And my daughters have listened to 2.5 Snoop songs and Rammstein before I realized what was setting them off in the truck.
So, number one, you're a terrible dad.
Oh, that's we didn't need this thing to tell us.
Number two, that's fair. Number two, does Vanessa know?
Yeah, I told her myself immediately.
Okay,
yeah, no, that was wise. This is the thing that you do when you realize, like, if it's ambiguous who's in the wrong, you hold on and see, can you win the fight? When you just know, nope, you're the bleep hole in this scenario. You just have to own it and run right into that foxhole.
It was good for you to get in front of that because if Vanessa's with the girls and you're doing your thing, and then one of the girls just tells Vanessa, for shizzle my nizzle, Vanessa's going to want, what is going on?
Well,
so good for you for getting out in front and owning up. Now, what do you do? Because they're not going to unhear that. Yeah, you hear that in the background?
I thought about turning it off.
Down the street.
I thought about turning it up. There's Dipping actually on. One part that's even worse about this.
Yeah, right with Uncle Snoop.
So
yeah.
As I was listening to this, so before I recognized what was on, I was sitting there and I felt like my oldest daughter, who's 11,
mm-hmm.
I felt her giving me the side eye. So you got to understand, I'm on 1 hour of sleep.
So now she knows you're terrible.
I'm already grumpy with the bus here. And I look over, and Olivia is like giving me a side eye. Now, what I realized later was she was looking at me saying, Dad, are you really letting us play this?
Again, she realized.
Really? So yeah. She was being more mature than her father was.
Which isn't hard to believe.
And I was like, what is your deal? So this kid is, let's put this into proper context. This beautiful, angelic 11-year-old who's understanding I shouldn't be listening to this. Tries in a nonverbal way to let her father know, Dad, we shouldn't be listening to this. And instead of realizing this little angel is looking out for Dad, I absolutely said, what is your deal? What are we doing? Why do you keep looking at me?
Well, you could also tell Vanessa it was educational when Snoop and Dre 1, 2, 3 into the
No, I could not get on that.
Will understand that
I could not get away with the count defense there of it's educational. I'm teaching them about the culture. I don't think that would really play at 11 and 8 years old.
You could have put it on me. See, this is really Uncle Stan's playlist, and somehow we were sending each other files, and it landed over here.
And by the way, so the kids have listened to, because this is my explicit playlist. Me and my cabin boys, we have a playlist that is all the songs we can't play for our kids. And so when we're really drunk, we'll turn this thing on in the cabin, and it's really, really funny to be really drunk and listening to the most explicit descriptive songs you can possibly have.
There's another avenue here. You just go all in. You just break out the Snoop greatest
hits. Just ruin my kids?
No, just help them appreciate the various aspects of Snoop. So that is not one just sharp image ingrained in their brains.
Well, I mean, the only way out is through. I think we all know that. But.
Yes, you're a terrible dad.
And then at the end of it, I had to drive them to school. And at school, we have such a great community of all these dads who love being part of their, and they're like part of the morning thing with the kids.
The Breakfast Club.
So they help get kids off. Out of the truck, and I know every one of those dudes. I couldn't look him in the eye. I couldn't. The extra exuberant guy who's like driving traffic, couldn't look him in the eye. My neighbor Ben works across the street over here. Couldn't look him in the eye. I could not look other fathers in the eye because I realized some part of my children I ruined in a small way, and I will never undo that damage.
Now, this isn't over with. You do know that their experience has been spread throughout the classroom at school.
Oh, yes.
So there are going to be other parents. Wilson, can we speak with you, please?
Olivia, as she's getting out the bus, Dad, I love this. And she asked, what was the name of this artist?
Yes.
Asked it in the whitest way possible. What was the name of this recording artist? And I was like, that's Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to tell all my friends. That was literally the last thing that I heard today.
Yeah.
As she went off, and so I have not just ruined my children.
Yeah.
I have ruined other people's children's now.
You got to explain Jenny Drews. You got to explain some of the herbal elements.
But here's what I'm
you
not doing.
Explain something.
I'm not playing that. I'm not playing that bleep with Nelly. I'm not playing all that other crap. I'm sorry.
You're not playing with Pharrell?
No.
Him and Pharrell?
No. I'm not doing it. No. Nelly. The best Snoop was the early Snoop, and I will die on that hill.
No.
704-570-9610. What was my biggest mistake in all of this?
I appreciate you bringing the culture to the family. We're getting somewhere. We're getting closer, Wilson. We got a ways to go with itty bitty fitty, but we're getting closer, Wilson.
I'd like to point out, all the other fails, you're a horrible father. This one, you done good, Nick. That's where we are.
You started out horrible, but there's a way to rectify this.
What was my biggest fail in ruining my children with all the explicit songs that possibly could have gone on? We also into the choosing game for the Carolina Panthers on Sports Radio FNC.
Let that play, Fitty.